Hey everybody, Matt here, and welcome to a special hybrid episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast by Fantastic Geek and the Pop Culture podcast by Fantastic Geek. Joining me, of course, before we even get into our topic, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hey everybody, what's going on?
Pete, I can hear the excitement in your voice as we get ready today to preview what at long last has finally come to get ready for this upcoming weekend, New York Comic Con 2013.
Definitely. You know, the highlight of the fall season every year on the best coast.
Ah, indeed. So this isn't going to be an especially long podcast, but we did want to spend a little bit of time kind of giving a little bit of a, maybe if it's your first time going to New York Comic Con, kind of a survival guide. We also want to talk about what we are going to go see while at New York Comic Con. And lastly, we'll talk a bit about how you, listeners, can keep in touch with us, especially if you are going to be there. So first of all, Pete, our first segment, what to pack, what is in your survival guide?
Well, you know, I tend to travel a little heavier than most, being that I'm there on press credentials, you know, so that's specialized. And I know we have other people who, you know, either do the podcast thing or are there working. And, you know, they're going to have their own types of materials that they're going to bring. But the one thing I would definitely stress is to bring some hydration. It runs you about a cool $7 to $12 for a bottle of water, based on where you buy said bottle of water, either on the floor or at a lot of the amenities at the Javits Center. I would definitely advise bringing yourself a nice big refillable, you know, hard plastic, bottle. Have never been given any grief about it in the 6 or 7 years I've attended New York Comic Con. So that is absolutely vital. On top of that, always bring, you know, the basics, you know, some pens, some paper. You never know who you're going to run into, need an autograph, get a phone number, whatever it is. Of course, your smartphone. And, you know, New York Comic Con has taken a lot of strides this year. They had the app last year. I think it's a little bit better this year, not the greatest. Matt, you can certainly speak to that maybe in a little bit. But, you know, bring that smartphone, bring your plugs, and charge it, because as Matt can attest, you're going to go through that charge in no time flat. And there is serious competition for empty plugs, particularly in the artist alley. The last 2 years, you know, I don't have to deal with that as much because, again, we've got a press lounge or someplace to plug in. But I know, Matt, you've dealt with that. And lastly, I would say, you know, you don't need a ton of cash on hand. I don't like to travel with a lot of cash, but I would make sure you have some form of payment for whatever extras are going to pop up, a souvenir you see, something cool at a dealer table you can't live without. A lot of the dealers still aren't wise to the idea that there is this adventure called the internet, and that you can buy pretty much anything they have on a website called eBay. But you know, that may have started in 1998. But you know, you never know where you're going to see a one of a kind type of thing, and you need to have it.
Where else will you get a tub full of battle droids? You know,
pretty much at every convention we've ever been to, you can get a mangled, warped, tubbo battle droids. I think they sell them by the pound now, not unlike Swedish fish. They have the same consistency at this point.
Pete, I agree with generally everything that you've said, but I will disagree slightly on the issue of the phone battery. The only way that you can burn through your phone battery is if you are misusing it. And it actually, this will be my third year at New York Comic Con. This will be the first year where I feel like I understand what it means to misuse your phone. When I went 2 years ago, my iPhone 4S was a day old. I had gotten it on launch day. Thank you very much. And I was just full on, hey, let me tag every picture. Let me tweet. I want my, you know, Twitter followers to see what's going on. Let me do this. Let me do that. That is absolutely the wrong way to use your phone. Certainly use your phone as a camera. What I'm planning on doing as soon as I approach the Javits, if not, frankly, as soon as I hit the city streets, turn off the Wi-Fi completely. There is no Wi-Fi at the Javits Center. And I'll just go about, take the pictures I want to. You really shouldn't be trying to use your smartphone as a smartphone while you're in the Javits Center. If you are downstairs, you're encased in concrete. Good luck getting a signal through. On top of that, even if you're upstairs, you're competing with 100,000 other people for, you know, whatever 4G radio waves are making their way in. It's going to take forever. Pete, I remember last year trying to text you, trying to, you know, we had separated for a bit, trying to tell you where I was in line. And it just, you could see text after text, that bar would go almost all the way through and then not.
Right.
And that's what kills the battery. I do have a Mophie battery pack, the kind of, you know, battery pack case that was actually recommended to me way back when by Jenny, friend of the podcast, back from our Alcatraz days. That's great. That holds about a 60 to 70% charge, like at the ready. So certainly if I've drained my phone or I see I'm at 5%, 3%, when I, you know, turn that battery pack on, to me, that is now, that's kind of my emergency power, if you will. That's the stuff to not, you know, upload a picture instantly to Instagram or upload a video to Instagram while I'm online. That's, you know, if I need to check the weather or check train schedule or that kind of thing. Yes, bring your plugs. But Pete, I'll absolutely echo what you said. It is tough. It is really tough finding plugs. I think just from kind of when the Javits Center was built, plus the fact that who's going to subsidize a free charging thing, you know, right. Like there's kind of not a market for it. So it's certainly, it's tough to top off your power while you're there.
There were, you know, some places on the floor where they thought of that last year. Like I said, you know, there were some open plugs or, you know, you'd see somebody topping off and then jump in, you know, not dissimilar to getting some gas or something after a big storm. We've been through that a couple weeks after Comic-Con last year with Hurricane Sandy. But yeah, I would definitely agree. And listen, there's a reason why you're the tech guy on the podcast is because, you know, you mentioned you have a Mophie battery case. I have a Mofo battery case in that, you know, I burn through it like a mofo.
Wow, that was quite a good turn of phrase there, Pete.
Wow.
Let me just take you through the rest of my survival bag. Pete, you're absolutely correct. You can go to the store, you can get a water bottle. I don't necessarily think there's as big a I don't think there's a need for as big a water bottle as you were describing, Pete, given that there's water fountains that you have access to. So listeners, if you're cool with New York City water, go for it. Last year, I think I had, actually, I'm looking at a picture here. I think it was like a 1 liter, 16 ounce, something like that, bottle that I just refilled a bunch of times. Make sure it's that harder plastic. You know, I know some of the bottle manufacturers like Poland Spring, they pride themselves in using less plastic. That's great, but you want to have something that you can literally throw into your bag and know it's not going to spring a leak. If you have that top on tight, you're good to go. Let's see. I also brought a couple of lifesavers. Hey, can't help, you know, to help your breath there. If you have access to a lanyard ahead of time, I would recommend bringing that just because you kind of don't want to be fumbling. Where's your badge as you're waiting online? Yes, they have free lanyards by the gazillion once you're there. But if you have one, to just throw your ID on, it'll be one less thing to hold.
Right.
And you know what, Pete, at the bottom of my bag, just to be safe, put an unopened thing of travel size deodorant, you know, can't hurt.
There you go. And, you know, any snacks too, you know, I always got a Clif Bar or something so that, you know, I'm self-sufficient for several hours before, you know, as we're going to talk here a little bit, scouting report. You know, try not to eat there because, again, they're going to hammer you. You know, the markup is substantial And, you know, we have always made a point to, you know, I mean, I studied in New York City. So, you know, anytime I can get out and around and about in there, that's a bonus. Plus, you're going to need to clear your head from such a crush of people like New York Comic Con throws at you.
Absolutely. I think that it's, you know, if you're going to spend $10 to get a hot dog and a pretzel, why not, you know, check your smartphone out, you know, out when you're on the surface away from the Javits, find some kind of food place of which there are many, many, many within a 10-minute walk. And if you're going to spend $10 in the Javits, you know what, spend 12, spend 15, get, you know, a nice salad, some spaghetti, you know, a nice tall drink, so on and so forth, kind of for that extra couple of bucks, you get to sit down at the table, enjoy the fact that you're not surrounded nonstop by people. Just go, you know, go for a walk and come back if you're not pressed for time.
Get yourself to a nice New York pizzeria and get yourself a slice or two at but a fraction of the cost. And again, you'll get out for a little bit, you'll get back in, you'd be surprised how, you know, things, the ebb and flow throughout the day will kind of thin. You know, you may want to hold off not leaving the building at lunchtime so you can move a little bit more and then, you know, eat at off hours or something along those lines. You know, the show has largely remained the same since they moved it to the fall a couple of years ago. I want to say in 07, it was in February. And since then they took about 18 months off and then they brought it back in October. It's largely remained the same. I mean, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, certainly, but it's essentially the same layout, the same idea.
Pete, I'll just mention one more thing that's in my survival bag, at least part of the time, and that is I always make a point to have, I have like a waterproof windbreaker with me that I'll wear when I'm outside. As soon as you get into the Javits, it's 100,000 people. Let's just face it. Some of these Comic-Con types, they're not exactly physically fit. Walking from one end of the floor to the other, let alone walking from the floor to go see, you know, your anime pornography presentation, you know, speech, or, you know,
it's then, called hentai.
Indeed. And then from there going to see, you know, the how to cosplay when you don't know how to sew panel. They're going to be doing lots of huffing and puffing. It's warm in there. I've never regretted being in short sleeves. I of course will be in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast t-shirt, all black with the green front, so look out for that. But seriously, I was actually, I have like a cloth like zippy hoodie thing, and then I have my windbreaker, and I actually was weighing by hand which one is lighter, because I'm going to take the lighter one. Also, chance of rain on Friday, you know, we'll see. But you can just ball that up, fold it up nice and tight, throw it in the bottom of your bag. It's not going to take up much room, and it's worth it. I remember last year as we were walking back to the train station, it was a little cool in that jacket. But the flip side is, look, it's October in New York. At night, you know, you should be prepared for a little bit of a chill. To me, the walking distance from the Javits to Penn Station, about 15 minutes, maybe 20, maybe less if you need to go fast.
Right.
You'll be fine in a windbreaker. It'll just keep you warm enough until you get inside again.
Yeah, dressing in layers is key. And, you know, the one thing we've danced around it, bring a bag. You're going to need a bag. Don't think that you're going to walk into this without one. I mean, yes, can you get a bag from a vendor after you purchase something? You can. You don't really want to, you know, leave it to the, you know, the plastic bag that you're given, you know, shopping bag style to get you through.
Especially, and Pete, sorry to interrupt. I mean, you want to have both hands free, especially when, you know, some buxom wayward waif who's dressed as hipster Ariel in a tube top, inappropriately tight pants, carrying around a, you know, a plush toy flounder. When she walks by and you realize she's just walked past an air conditioning duct and you want to compliment her by taking a picture on your phone, do you really want to like have to like move your, you know, your plastic bag out of the way? No. Stick your hand into your pocket, whip out your phone, and take your picture.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, maybe you'll see that dude that was a transformer that turned from a robot into a car. But you went there, and that's fine. you know, and you're going to see people who are carrying things that are entirely inappropriate as far as size and as far as content. But, you know, that's why a lot of people go.
Could you just give a for instance, Pete?
No, I don't want to, only because I think some things are better left unsaid, and I want to create a sense of mystery. You know, that's why a lot of people go. The people watching is both intense and sublime, and you know, really adds to the overall experience.
Well, Pete, may I mention just one kind of generality? I can't speak. Sure. Generality? Sure. There we go. Third time's a charm. Whenever you see somebody with a costume that has some sort of asymmetrical component, which is to say a bow slung over the shoulder, one shoulder pad, you know, that's spiked or horned or whatever, that's larger than the other, a sword in scabbard behind your back or even at your side, that's somebody that you both want to watch out for. And then once they've passed you, you can watch as literally, you know, hot, sexy Link from Zelda, who has her bow that's way too big, is like, clunk, oops, excuse me, clunk, clunk, oops, excuse me. And it's just, it's great fun.
It is. It is. Again, it's an overall experience. You know, they've really pushed the anime festival component of the New York Comic Con, and anime festival, you know, and they've even given them their own little ghettoized area the past couple years as well, where all sorts of, you know, things are happening with creatures that have tentacles. But yeah, man, it's an experience. And, you know, all, you know, joking aside, you know, it's just something you need to see. Yeah.
Well, Pete, with that, let's move on to what we will see. Let's see, you will be there Saturday.
For sure. Be there, you know, Thursday or Friday. I will not be doing the Sunday thing.
Yeah, I think by the time you get to Sunday, that's time to look forward to the next week. Pardon me as I rattle as I get out my my 4-day pass here just to look at the hours. So floor hours on Friday, when I will definitely be there, floor hours are 10 to 7. And I doubt, in fact, not even doubt, I can say certainly I'm not going to be there for all, 9 hours that the floor is open. A couple of things that jump out as maybes for me on Friday. I see that at 12:15, there's a Falling Skies, the magic behind the series panel, which right. I may check out, may not check out. That's also concurrent to Marvel Television Presents, and that is for the animation side of Marvel TV. Yes. So both of those probably will be well attended.
If I go Thursday, and it bears mentioning too, Thursday is a pros and press day. It is not a general admission day. So, you know, please, again, beware of what type of admission you have. But if I go Thursday or Friday, that will be a floor day, a walking around, you know, taking it all in day. There is less that excites me on those days as far as panels or presentations.
I know on my schedule Friday, it still is a, you know, to be announced. So I don't know if it's something really juicy or if it's like they just don't have anything there yet. But there's something on the main stage, 1D. Again, I don't know if that's going to be a blockbuster thing or if that's just going to be like nothing. I don't know. Last thing I'll mention, on Friday at 4:15, Max Brooks, who is the author of World War Z, will be giving a speech or a talk, a panel, Zombie Survival and Extinction Parade Insights. So
there you go. And people can line up and say, why was the movie nothing like your fantastic book? Will the sequel to the movie that was nothing like your fantastic book be a little bit more like your fantastic book? Maybe.
Pete, I'm sensing you have an opinion there.
Just a little bit, but, you know, it's what we in the press are here to do, ask the hard question.
Pete, looking ahead to Saturday, what's on your radar? I mean, I know there's the biggie. I don't know if we want to start with the biggie and work our way down, you know, as is the upside down pyramid of newspaperman style.
Yes. I mean, the thing that has driven smartly New York Comic Con over the last 3 years, four seasons, as we head into the fourth season beginning, you know, Sunday night of Comic Con, is The Walking Dead. It was very heavily pushed, not to say that it hasn't been pushed at San Diego Comic Con and other less substantial cons, you know, throughout the country leading up, but this has effectively become the Walking Dead's con. You know, it's on everything. It's all over our badges. Each year they have previewed the first episode a night before everybody else has seen it. It's easily the biggest panel. And, you know, yet another reason why New York Comic Con has tapped into the fall to winter to really to spring, because and early summer film and TV schedule, in that it's the last major con before a lot of those things will happen. You know, you can talk about, you know, Wizard World and some of the other ones, but, you know, they're not coming anywhere near the numbers that New York Comic Con has had the last couple of years. They've been completely sold out on some days within the last 2 years. Every indication this is going to be bigger. They did move to RFID passes this year because, as tends to happen on the East Coast, there's, you know, there's people who are pretty good at counterfeiting things and getting in, you know, gratis, as we might say. But, you know, I don't think that's going to deter a large audience. I don't think there were, you know, tens of thousands of people who had, you know, basically stolen their way into New York Comic Con. But certainly, you know, just one of many examples what New York gets right in having, you know, being the place for the panel of the biggest show on TV currently.
Now, Pete, you hear some of the stories from San Diego Comic-Con, and sometimes people, they want to get to the big panel, so they sit through a couple that they don't want to be at in order to have their seat chosen. What is it that's before Walking Dead? Is that worth sitting through as well? Should we just get online early and slug through some, you know, poop and fart festival in order to see the, you know, the cast of Walking Dead? What is before that panel that closes out Saturday night, as Walking Dead does?
Well, there's a show on this fall. It's new. I rhymes with Carvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what it is, which, of course, we podcast, and that's why many of you are listening to this. They are getting the rather plum choice spot at 6:15 in the same theater before The Walking Dead. So, you know, and that's no coincidence, no mistake either, that a Comic-Con is going to give, you know, one of the, if not the biggest animation house right now between comics and films and TV, that spot, and really kind of help that along. I would imagine there'd be very little movement out of that theater from the Marvel panel to the Walking Dead panel, even with whatever is before the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel. And of course, we're going to do everything we can to bring you as much of that as we can.
Yeah, we're certainly inspired by some of the stories of San Diego Comic-Con, of, you know, being out 10, 12, 18 hours ahead of time out in the cold San Diego night. I don't think it's going to be, you know, I think 2, maybe 3 hours ahead of when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts is when I'm going to be looking to hop on the line. I know you have another panel in mind before that you may or may want to hit. I'm okay to miss it to kind of hop online. But and Pete, I'll just correct you. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel starts at 5. It concludes at 6:15.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the schedule wrong. You're correct.
But that definitely, like, that's almost the plum spot to be for a new show, because people are going to sit there to see Walking Dead. And hopefully that's, I think it's a similar audience, even though they're dissimilar shows. So it's, That's a heck of a 1-2 punch. It really, really is.
Well, listen, and it's a function, I think, of the two shows and the differences. I mean, certainly San Diego Comic-Con, that is the granddaddy. That is the one that started it all, you know, and getting the ball rolling on, you know, a pop culture phenomenon like Star Wars and things like that. You know, we can never erode that legacy. That being said, and Matt, you can certainly speak to in a moment, some friends of the podcast who have done things like this and whatever. New York Comic Con just doesn't work that way. You don't camp out the night before for a panel. It doesn't happen. I'm pretty sure it's not even allowed as far as, you know, you're going to be kicked out of the Javits Center. And you know what? San Diego overnight might be a different situation than, I don't know, the west side of Manhattan overnight. There might be some people around there that really they're not there for the Comic-Con. You know, they might be there for various interests, all of which might have to do with either harassing you, bringing you harm, attempting to sell you things. Really, you know, it's another city. It's a city that never sleeps.
Yeah, indeed. To me, it's inconceivable. First of all, there's not the room where the Javits Center is. The Javits Center is, if it's not right up against the water, it's darn close to it. And you're
just right on the water.
Right on the water. There you go. So, you know, you're surrounded by other shops and apartments and, you know, this, that, the other. Last year, some of the construction work that they were doing near the Javits Center made it frankly look like, you know, a demilitarized zone.
It is constantly under construction. I have been going to the Javits Center for things like boat shows since the early 1980s. I cannot remember a time, if it wasn't a boat show, it was a car show or Comic-Con, or I've been there for Major League Baseball fan fests. For both the Yankees and the Mets All-Star games, it is constantly under construction.
It was crazy last year. To hear that it's been that way for 30 years is, or 25, 30 years, I guess, is kind of quintessentially New York as well. But yeah.
But hey, again, you know, the East Coast, you know, we don't play like that. You know, we're intense, but we're not intense to the point where we're going to camp out overnight over it. You should be able to get in if you go that day. You know, it speaks to the animal of the show that it is. It's just built differently, but that's not how we do on the East Coast.
Indeed. And I think, to be fair, San Diego Comic-Con is 25 years old, 30 years old, something like that. This, I think, is the 8th or 9th year of New York Comic-Con. So while the New York end has grown by leaps and bounds, and depending on what the capacity of the Javits is, they're certainly within 10,000 of equaling San Diego Comic-Con. They may equal that, surpass that this year. I don't know. I think certainly they keep selling out on Saturday and they keep selling out on Sunday. So at a certain point, they are just they're going to max out all 4 days. But I could foresee a point in 4 or 5 years where Thursday isn't, you know, pro and press and 4 day ticket people with nothing really to go see. I could see, you know, Thursday being as big a day as the other ones, as they kind of slowly change the culture to accept that, you know, hey, you're going to go see, the Plum Spot will be the biggest of the big Saturday night in the main theater. But I think they're going to start to slowly try and spread these out. So you go, wow, there is value for me to go on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I think some of that is what they can get. Some of that is also past hits or misses. You know, last year, was it Apartment 666? What was that show with?
Yes, it was on Sunday morning, yep.
That had a big, that was there Sunday morning. It was like, ooh, do we go see Terry O'Quinn? Not really that interested in the show. You know, we didn't go on Sunday, and the show didn't do too well. So how many shows now are clambering for Sunday morning? Not a ton.
Right.
But it is what it is.
you know, and the thing I'm just noticing looking through the app that at least they're pushing for the Walking Dead panel, it's going to stream through NewYorkComicCon.com/NYCC Live. Now, will they stream a preview of the episode the night before? Come on. If you're asking that question, you know, act like you know. Certainly they will not be doing that. Or any kind of content that, you know, will suddenly, you know, garner all sorts of interest. But again, you know, we all know that stuff shows up on YouTube at some point. not the content as far as television episodes, but previews and things like this. The other panel I'm eyeballing for Saturday, and, you know, I can go, I cannot go, is the Star Wars Rebels, the Might of the Empire panel, which starts at 2:45 in a different theater. That's the much anticipated animated follow-up to Star Wars The Clone Wars, which just finished up its run on Cartoon Network. Now that Disney has purchased Star Wars, they're going to crank out another digital animated series, and this one is going to take place between the prequel series and the original trilogy that we all know so well. And this is going to be the first time they're going to be unveiling any kind of footage or further details. So it should be pretty hotly anticipated. But again, you know, compared to getting into Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, I'm really going to have to weigh that and see. And that's even with press access.
Right. Speaking of animated stuff, I'm seriously considering at 11 a.m. on Saturday going to the Archer discussion and Q&A. It appears that the whole cast will be there, including, but obviously not limited to, the unequaled Jessica Walter, of also of Arrested Development fame. So that too will be live streamed. So it really is nice that they're doing the live streaming. I think some of that stuff stays up or later in the week kind of is up there. It's nice that they're doing that. It certainly is a get that San Diego doesn't do, to my knowledge. And if it does, I don't know how I missed that this summer, to be able to be like, click on this link to see the entire cast of X-Men talk about being in an X-Men movie. So there's that. And I'll just quickly mention, jumping back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right now the description just says Jeff Loeb, who is Marvel's head of television. He's the only announced guest. Somebody on Twitter did ask Clark Gregg, will you be at New York Comic Con? Do you have plans? I think his answer was, it was very cryptic. It wasn't even like a maybe. It was like, we'll see, or something like that. So
right.
I certainly have every hope that, you know, New York City is home to Marvel. I have every hope that they're going to, in this plum spot where, not exactly the competition, but the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel is going to be compared to the Walking Dead panel, just in terms of they're one after the other. Most of the people are going to sit through the exact same thing. I doubt you're going to sit through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and go, oh, Walking Dead, never heard of it, and walk out. But the thought of lights down, clips from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., lights up, and the cast is there, or part of the cast is there, or for the third year in a row, the most beloved man at Comic-Con, Clark Gregg, is there, that'll just bring down the house. That'll be worth standing online for 2 or 3 hours, which I'm fully prepared to do.
It's certainly possible. If I'm not mistaken, he lives in New York City.
I'm certainly going to be watching his Twitter feed very, very carefully. I might even put it on, you know, how you can have it automatically push the signal to, or push the message, rather, as I sound like I don't know technology, push it to your phone with each tweet. But definitely looking forward to those two back to back. It should be just frankly, New York Comic Con is many wonderful things. Does it have the gravitas and the guest list of San Diego? No, not yet. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Walking Dead back-to-back is as good as it's going to get in terms of just those kind of moments where you're in a large room, but you're in the same room nonetheless as these people. And I'm psyched. I'm stoked. I cannot wait.
It's exciting. It's a fun thing to participate in. You know, been very appreciative that the fact that, you know, the East Coast has gotten their own version of this, and, you know, we've really kind of taken it and run with it.
Well, with that, Pete, let's just move on to our third and final segment. Basically, listeners, we'd love for you to keep in touch, especially if you're going to be at New York Comic Con. We've mentioned on the podcasts before our listener line, 732-707-1815. That's a Google Voice line that we have where you can leave a message. I've set it up so that if you are headed to New York Comic Con on Friday or Saturday, if you're already there, etc., if you want to try and cross paths with us, say hello, meet up, whatever it might be, send a text to that number, 732-707-1815. And assuming I am at where I can get to a cell signal, it should come through. And hopefully we'll hear from a couple people and be able to, you know, shake some hands. Hopefully we have our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. buttons by then. This is being recorded on Monday, and they're not here yet. I'm a little nervous, but they did say it would be here. I said I needed them for Thursday. Hopefully they'll be here for Thursday. And you know, Pete, I think it'd be really cool to meet some strangers who are actually friends we haven't met yet.
Absolutely. And, you know, another avenue would be Twitter. You know, follow us, tweet at us. You can find me at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, Matt.
My personal Twitter is Looking Back Lost. Of course, hopefully you know that the podcast Twitter is Fantastic Geek. With a PH. Again, it's one of those things. Feel free to tweet at us. You know, if it's during the day, you know, we might not be able to get back to you right away. Not because we're jerks, not because we're hobnobbing with, you know, Clark Gregg and Ming-Na Wen. It might just be we're downstairs standing in some line, as I've said before, encased in concrete, and that signal isn't going to reach us for a couple hours. But this could be cool. You know, reach out, say hello, and hopefully we'll meet a few listeners.
Definitely.
Well, Pete, I guess with that, I am properly stoked for New York Comic Con. I think we've covered it all. What to pack, what we'll see. Hopefully, the highlights of the weekend, and I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Just keep your head on a swivel.
Absolutely. So, I guess with that, I'll say adios to everybody. Hopefully, see you at Comic Con. If not, we'll be back talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before too long, and. Pete, what closing words would you like to say?
Get your con on.